Hello, welcome to Shaman Sister Sessions, episode 106, Social Responsibility of Spiritual Practitioners. I'm Catherine Bird, and I'm here with Michelle Hawk, my dear shaman sister. And go ahead, if you haven't yet, subscribe, like, feel free to comment. If something comes up for you during this episode, leave a comment. You can also feel free to reach out to us and offer your support through our Patreon account at patreon.com/shamansistersessions, and check out us out on YouTube and Spotify, Stitcher, where else? iTunes, all the places, all the time. We're excited. This is our 106th episode, so there's tons of content for you to engage in and lots of things that we've been talking about, and I'm really excited to talk about this topic today. I think this is very important for us to dive into right now, all the time, but right now especially, so that we can start to get some more context on what our social responsibilities are, as we're seeing so much going on in the collective and in our societies. What's our responsibility here? What does that even mean? What are we talking about? So, how you doing, Michelle?
I'm really well, thanks. Yeah, this is definitely a very timely topic for us to be looking into. And this is something that Catherine and I spend a lot of time thinking about and talking about. We have conversations with each other about this in terms of what is it like to be in integrity with our service? What is it like, which is a component of this social responsibility? So this integrity, what is it like to, how are we showing up in the best possible way? What is being asked of us as an extension of our service and our practice in the world? And I feel like this is something that right now we're speaking about this in the context of all of the stuff that's boiling to the surface right now, and especially in the US, but really worldwide, is this looking at things through the lens of the Black Lives Matter movement and through all of the racial tension and the opportunities for healing and for growth and for unlearning that are really rising to the surface. So again, this is an invitation for everyone, regardless of whether you're an official practitioner, I'll say, meaning you have a business or you're serving people in exchange for money or as a business, or whether you consider yourself more of a personal practitioner, an unofficial practitioner, you have your own personal spiritual practice. All of these invitations and everything that we're talking about today is for you regardless, or even if you're just starting out on the path and you're looking at how can I apply this social responsibility into conversations that I'm having with friends and family, colleagues, etc., or even just having a little more awareness of your own process. So regardless of where you're coming in from, this conversation is for you. Welcome. Yeah. How about we break down, let's start by breaking down what do we mean by social responsibility. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Integrity. We already labeled that one piece.
Integrity. And responsibility. There's a responsibility in the title here that there's some sort of responsibility, meaning that there is a conscious response and that there is a choice to make a conscious response and to take something as how I'm going to respond to something in the world. And instead of, just I'm going to sit over here and just not pay attention or not have a voice in the subject that's most present or take any action. It's being in the choosing of responding to something that you're seeing out in the world.
Awesome. And in contrast also, not only with inaction, but also with reacting, mm-hmm. right? So responding from an empowered self-agency space of awareness and conscious choice, rather than reacting from a place of feeling triggered, or which in this context, there's a lot of triggers happening. Everybody's trauma is getting poked a little bit, and are as spiritual practitioners, as people who claim to have the tools, who claim to have more awareness or practices, then it really is our responsibility to not react, but instead to respond. So I love that. Okay, so we have integrity, we have responsibility. I would also love to add in accountability, right? And knowing that in this type of situation, and again, we're looking at this through the lens of the Black Lives Matter movement, but really this is, this spreads much farther than this particular situation and this particular moment in time. This is really a social responsibility for the purpose of global transformation, regardless of what's going on. Accountability. Who are you accountable to? Really, first and foremost, to yourself, to spirit, to whatever personal agreements you have for your own path and purpose, and holding yourself accountable to be responsible, to be in integrity, to be in alignment with values, to be in alignment with truth and love and compassion, and being gentle with yourself, but also at the same time, like giving yourself the support that you need to really be firm in checking yourself on that accountability. Am I taking actions every day? Am I living my practice every day in a way that is in alignment with this responsibility?
Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a piece around on openness, on having an open mind, an open heart, an open life in a way, to be able to take in different perspectives and to see where people are coming from, to have compassion and empathy and presence with wherever someone is on their journey, to not go into judgment, to not go into shaming people for their response to something, for being able to hold space for others and for yourself and your own process and whatever you're going through. But being able to understand that there are so many layers to what people's experiences are and their responses to things are. And it's so easy to be very judgmental. And especially when we first kind of start out on the path and we start coming in contact with the love and the light and these spiritual truths and all of this, you know, beauty and bliss, it is really easy to be judgmental when other people aren't in that space, and to use our spiritual lingo and our spiritual these spiritual concepts as ways to actually shut people down from having their experience or from having their viewpoint or getting their point across or having whatever emotions that they're having. So that requires a great openness and an ability to handle some stuff. It is like, okay, I'm going to be with something really uncomfortable. I'm going to be with something maybe I don't like. I don't like that people are this way. I don't like that the world is this way, but I'm actually going to be present with it. I'm not going to run away from it because it doesn't fit my little spiritual bubble that I've put around myself. So it's being open in the experience that you're having towards others and towards the world, and even if it's not what you actually want to see or be present to.
Yeah, I love that. That's super important. And I want to tack something onto that what Catherine's describing here is really this ability to hold multiple perspectives of truth at the same time, which is inherently a very shamanic way of being. It's saying, okay, that this is true. And for that person, this over here is also true. And it, you know, accepting and that openness, like you were saying, Kat, this ability to be present with all of those pieces at the same time from the place of non-shaming or non-judgment. That's a super important piece, again, that our practices ideally are giving us the ability to be present with that. I also want to add in the ability, and I'm not exactly sure what like one word would fit on this, maybe evolution, right? Where our evolution of service, right? Where our social responsibility as spiritual practitioners, like we are service providers, not necessarily for just in the context of our business or in the context for those of us who are, who do our spiritual practice as a business or who are self-employed, but also just we are here to serve. Any spiritual practitioner who is actually in alignment with their soul contract with spirit, there is this divine directive to be of service to the planet, to people, to animals, to plants, to the environment, to the betterment and the transformation and the evolution of all beings, for the benefit of all beings. And if we're just sitting around waiting around for things to blow over, air quotes, if you're just listening to audio, for things to blow over, either in terms of COVID or for the Black Lives Matter stuff to settle down, like if you're just sitting around waiting for that so that you can get back to your business as usual, that's not being socially responsible in your practice, right? Our, what is being asked of us as socially responsible, integrous, aligned spiritual practitioners is to serve in the way that we are called within the context of what is being asked of the transformation of Earth. And knowing that your service is probably going to look different with different contexts, with different lenses happening. And right now we have a couple of really powerful transformation portals layered on top of each other right now, where again, we're still in this COVID experience. And we have this portal moment opening where in the context of our social reform, this is a really powerful moment where people are more engaged with taking action and with social action. People are more likely to contribute to causes. People are more likely to reach out to whoever they need to reach out to, where there could actually be policy changes that otherwise without this push might not happen. And so as spiritual practitioners, if we're just kind of sitting around twiddling our thumbs, being like, I'm waiting for things to blow over so I can get my retreats back online to talk about self-love, and your service is not evolving to serve in what is happening right now, then I would question, is that really the responsible thing? Or can you take your service, and again, all of us are called to serve in a different way, and put it in the context of what is happening right now so that it is relevant, so that it is helpful, so that it is of meaningful contribution to this transformation portal that we're experiencing as a global community right now.
Mm-hmm. And that might seem challenging. I know that sometimes for me, it's like, okay, well, how, right? It's taken me a long time to try to figure out a year long, like, okay, this is what I'm going to do for the year, right? To calendar and schedule and be planning into the future and to go, okay, well, in May, I'm going to do this. And in June, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to have sell this program and I'm going to do this retreat. And I'm going to talk about this. And let's face it, like all of that stuff has kind of gotten blown out of the water because if we just go about business as usual and just keep talking about ourselves, we're being very tone deaf. And in that, we're not building trust with our communities because that is one of the cornerstones of who we are, is that we're people that hopefully people can trust. Because people come to us with their fears and their worries and their pain and their trauma and all of these things. So we're constantly looking at how do we become more trustworthy? How do we become more in that integrity piece and more so that people can bring anything and they can show up in any way and they can unload their life and have transformation in our presence. And so it can feel challenging. I know that I have those moments of challenge of like, oh, well, I really want to talk about this, but is that what I should be talking about right now? And I've seen online a little bit of like, well, but this is who I am and this is what I talk about and this is my freedom and I get to be this. And I'm tired of people being shaming me and being mad at me for not responding to this in the way that they want me to. And so there's that fine line there of like, yeah, we all are who we are. And maybe your thing is not talking about social justice. Maybe your thing is talking about self-love or is talking about orgasms or is talking about relationships or anything. It could be whatever your thing is. And all of a sudden, here's all of this other stuff that's here. And how do you change gears in a way to be able to hold maybe some of your stuff and some other stuff, and how does it all relate together, right?
Yeah.
It's challenging. Yeah. Do you feel a challenge around that, Michelle, where you're like, well, what am I supposed to be doing right now? What exactly, what's the thing to say?
Yeah, I totally do. And, you know, right now in this moment, for those of you who follow my work, you may have noticed I've barely put anything out for the last couple of months, right? In terms of social media stuff, in terms of newsletters, you know, in case you hadn't noticed, then nothing's wrong. Everything's fine. And nothing is wrong. But, and this was, it almost feels as though I've been in a state of like radical expansion sort of after COVID happened. And then I was putting lots of things out and I was producing content and appearing on other people's platforms. And then all of a sudden it just went like contract and be present with some personal things that were happening, to be present with supporting my family through some things that were going on. And that space, it's almost as though I've been in this like be really insular and be really internal space for the last couple of months. Now with the Black Lives Matter movement really exploding and becoming much more public and much bigger and much louder, and with these protests and riots and movements, et cetera, I've been in that space of questioning of like, what is my responsibility? What is my social responsibility? I have a platform, right? Among them, this podcast, this is part of my platform, my newsletter, my social media, my personal interactions with people, that's part of my platform, right? And I was assessing these different areas in which I have a field of influence and how I can be in integrity, these qualities that we were mentioning. So integrity, responsibility, accountability, openness, and evolution. How am I being in alignment with those in a way that also feels in integrity to what universally is going on for me right now, which is this more insular experience of having my energy a little bit closer to home. And so I definitely went through a minute of like, oh, well, it's part of my privilege that I'm getting to not blast this all over social media and that I'm getting to, to prioritize supporting my family through some things. And you know, the part of my white privilege is that I don't have to be marching in protest. So it was a sobering moment to look at that. And really the space that I've come to about it is looking at my social responsibility is taking form in other ways right now, in terms of my personal education, that I'm holding myself accountable for my own unlearning and in involving myself in a couple of different groups where I'm supporting or being supported and supporting other people with that. Looking at these conversations that I'm having with people in my close community of, you know, it came up at my birthday dinner last week, actually, where I was talking with someone compassionately about why saying all lives, you know, the whole Black Lives Matter, all lives matter thing. Yeah, that came up at my birthday dinner and getting to be present with that conversation. And just looking at these micro ways in which I am being of this responsibility that isn't necessarily visible. And I know that right now in this moment, that's where I am. That is likely changing, / Kat and I already have some pieces in place for upcoming podcast episodes where we are making our platform available to BIPOC speakers and facilitators. So it was prioritizing Black, Indigenous, people of color to come and amplify their voices on this platform, looking at some other ways in which I'm making changes. But yeah, it is a little bit challenging to, you know, Kat, like you were saying, of looking at what is the nature of my practice, what is aligned, what is not appropriate to engage with right now, personally, professionally, on all of these different layers. How is that going for you? How are you experiencing that?
Yeah, I've had some trouble just because, really because I've been house hunting, I've been trying to finish a book, I have, you know, all of these other things out, now I'm packing. So my focus on things like social media, no matter what was happening right now, would be much less. So I've made some posts, but I've really had to like force myself to sit down and be like, okay, it's been so many days since I put up a post. Like I have to post something. And for me, it always ends up coming through the lens of who I am. Right. So one of the last posts I made was about the awakening and how, you know, how we've been thinking that this awakening was going to be this amazing, super yummy, festival-y, bliss bubbly, cuddly thing. And That's not what it is. It's a protest. It's getting out. It's facing harsh truths about ourselves. And it is doing the deep shadow work that must be done in order for us to awaken and evolve. And because that's my lens. And so that's the lens that I speak through, because that's who I am. And so you don't necessarily in that, you don't have to necessarily be saying what everybody else is saying, because you do have your own personal individual filter that things are coming through, that wisdom or clarity or compassion or whatever this is, the standing with communities, the way that it's going to come through you is going to be unique. But to give yourself permission to do that, I think is really important. But I have been having these conversations in my groups and in my emails, and just really in the way of how is this connected to collective evolution, connected to the process that has to be gone through in order for us to have an evolved humanity and an awakened humanity, that we can't live in a world that is so barren of equality and compassion and people being able to live their lives without constant fear and trauma. And these pieces are not in alignment with what we are saying are our values. And as long as we're not standing for a change in the actual physical world that we're living in, that this awakening that we are all talking about, it has no place to happen. There's no container for it unless we're making real world changes. And that's what we're getting to see. And this is what we've been praying for. Like, we have been sitting around praying for peace and freedom. And hey, this is part of finding the road to peace and freedom. So we now get to participate that in a different way.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. And I want to highlight something that you just said, Kat, because I think it's super important. So either if you're listening or watching, then you can go ahead and pause and rewind and circle back to what Kat was talking about. But the standing for a 3D change, like standing for a real world change and taking empowered action, that's part of this social responsibility of spiritual practitioners. Mm-hmm. I will say it is easy to sit around and meditate and to pray and to hold the vision of a new earth and to journal about it and to dream it into being and to sit in ceremony and to, you know, to work on the etheric plane. That is only part of the picture. It's a significant
part. It's an important part. You know, when I do my meditation, it's like, it's there. That's what I do that work for myself individually. I lead my groups through this work so that we're doing this collectively together, that we're praying and bringing this energy to the world for sure. And yes, that is very important.
And it is. Right. And I, perhaps my finger is more misleading. It's actually a bigger part. And you need to follow that up. Slash, we all need to follow that up with these 3D empowered action steps in order to translate the etheric frequency of this new earth of equality and freedom and empowerment and sovereignty and all of these things that we are praying for, that we are cultivating energetically, to translate it into an embodied experience for ourselves and for everybody. And what that looks like, again, on the 3D level, that looks like, and these are some of the steps that I've been taking, again, behind the scenes, I'm not talking about this, I'm not writing about this, I'm just doing this, is ending service contracts with people that I've been working with, who, meaning as someone that I'm paying them, who are not people of color. So I'm looking at where can I create different arrangements where I'm instead hiring and prioritizing hiring BIPOC people to give my dollars to BIPOC people. How can I prioritize other aspects of my economic discernment and what's the word I want to use? Power, right? Like my economic power, giving it to BIPOC people. So looking for Black-owned businesses, looking for people of color service providers, looking for LGBTQ service providers, and looking for how I can use my all of my resources, my time, my energy, my money, my attention, to focus and choose particularly where I want those resources to go to amplify and empower those specific people, not just taking for granted like, oh, I've always used this hairdresser, or I've always used this accountant because my family uses this accountant, or oh, I've always just whatever hired this person without really thinking about it. But now I want to really think about how am I choosing with my money to support and amplify certain people. And that's been a process of auditing and kind of going through these different layers and looking at, again, how are all of these resources, my attention, which is going energetically, my time, which is one of these 3D pieces, my energy and my money, again, these 3D pieces going to real world applications of my values.
I think there's a couple of things there, Michelle. First, like that you're giving us an example of something that most of us overlook, and that it is something that you can do without becoming traumatized. You can do without engaging with somebody on social media. You can do without going to a protest. You could do without having an uncomfortable conversation with your family member. Like this is a way that you can actually do real world change without without doing the things that you might not be doing because maybe you are still in an active trauma response. Maybe you are still dealing with your ability to handle social interactions because your energy system and your empathic sensitivities are still really overwhelming you at this moment. And so then you might feel like, well, I can't do anything because I'm being a sensitive buttercup, as Michelle likes to call people sometimes. Being the cute little sensitive buttercup over here, which is totally fine with where you're at if that's where you're at. But here's something you can do without engaging with that. And I think that that's an important piece to start to look for. Okay, well, it's just not going to work for me to go to a protest. It's not going to work for me to do this or that. But here are maybe some things that I can do, and here's some action pieces that I can take. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I wanted to just underline is that you were talking about how the prayer and all of these energetic things that we're doing are so important, but then it's like the 3D. And we talk about this a lot on this podcast because so often when we're hearing about law of attraction and manifestation and how do you live this dream life, and oftentimes it's so focused on the spiritual, it's so focused on the energetic, it's so focused on visualization and affirmation and prayer and intention and all of these things, that many times people get stuck and they do not take daily significant actions. And if you're going to build a business and be abundant, if you're going to live in a place you want to and love your life, if you're going to have a relationship that feels really good and yummy, if you're going to have friendships that support you and make you feel good, all of those things take action. And so does living in the new world, most beautiful place, community that you can imagine. It takes action in the world. So I just wanted to kind of underline those two pieces because it feels like those are really important for us to anchor in.
Yeah. And I'll go even a step further and say here, I'm going to give you a little framework for how you can break this down into an exercise and to do an audit of your resources to look at through these lenses. I feel like that's, that's a pretty good framework we gave for a social responsibility, right? Like these five keys of social responsibility of as a spiritual practitioner, right? We talked about integrity, responsibility, accountability, openness, and evolution, right? Those were our five, right? Okay, so let's write those down, get a sheet of paper, pause the video or pause the audio if you want, get your journal, get a sheet of paper, and write down these five things, and then look at your resources. And your resources here for our purposes are your time, your energy, your money, your attention. And if there are any other resources that you want to add to that, for example, and I would say, you know, all of these have different divisions under them. Like I would include your platform as part of your energy and your attention, right? Or your newsletter, if you have a newsletter, or your, you know, what, or your conversations with your family also goes kind of under your energy. So make a list of your resources, your time, your energy, your money, and your attention, and these different divisions, and go through them and ask, am I allocating my resources in a way that is in alignment with my values and answering these five keys of social responsibility? Am I allocating my time in a way that is serving, in a way that is in integrity, in alignment with responsibility, in alignment with accountability and openness and evolution, right? And so going through, what are you doing with your time? For example, one of my time ways in which I'm allocating my energy. Thus far this year, all of my scholarship and pro bono work that I have offered to people has gone to BIPOC people. Now that has been thus far just kind of incidental because that's who I have supported and that's who's come forward to be supported. But I'm going to continue that for the rest of the year intentionally now, whereas I'm prioritizing where my time is going, that I am deliberately serving through scholarship, meaning like significantly discounted rates and pro bono work solely for the rest of the year, for the rest of 2020, only for BIPOC people, because that's a value of mine to give my time and to donate my time. So that's an example of a resource. Again, going completely behind the scenes. I'm not posting about this. I'm not writing this anywhere. This is an unspoken thing that's happening because it's important to me. And then looking at your resources, making a list of how can I take empowered action in each of these areas? How can I audit my resources to be in alignment with this social responsibility? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a great exercise. So go do the exercise.
And then report back. Comment on the episode and let us know how that goes for you.
Right. And just see if anything new emerges and if there is any awareness of where there's some change that you didn't think that there could be change. Because so often we look at things and we see just like one lens of maybe how I should respond to this should be like this. But there's all of these other ways that we can start to engage with this. And it might be having those conversations in your family, in your community, in your workplace, in if you have a Facebook group that you're leading or a program that you're running. And I know that it's helpful to know where you stand and to be able to respond to people who are going to have different viewpoints in these social settings in a way that is grounded, that is informed, that can be present with maybe something that's somebody's, you know, not happy, and being able to be present to that and still stand by what you see your values as being. We as spiritual practitioners, it's like as we've gone into this whole social media and coaching and just the internet and all of these pieces, this new age has become something that's very self-serving and very selfish. And it's all about me and how I'm going to help you to be your best self and get your dream, whatever, and manifest your this and that. And I'm going to make a bunch of money doing it. And then I'm going to talk about how much money I'm making because I'm so awesome and I've manifested it. And I'm not going to acknowledge the fact that it really helps that I'm a super cute, educated, middle class to upper class white lady. So it is up to us to acknowledge that we have a ton of privilege, to acknowledge that a lot of our spiritual practices come from people who have been completely decimated by white people in a lot of ways, in their traditions and their stories and their culture stolen, or they're not allowed to engage with it, but we are. So it's up to us to acknowledge that and to be present with that and to talk about it and to be a stand that everybody gets to have their culture and to participate in it in the way that they want to. And we can be a stand for that. And it's a pretty strong tradition that people in the spiritual practitioners, that we support communities, we support people, we go out and we start hospitals and we start places for orphan children to go, and we work with the sick and the poor and the needy and those that don't have resources, and we stand for social justice and social change. And social justice and social change from the voice of the spiritual practitioner has been some of the most powerful social justice and change on this planet. People who have been spiritual practitioners have stood up and voiced against social injustices and have made huge headway. And you could look up just how many of those people that there have been in the world. And we're not necessarily always living up in the best way to that tradition. We're sort of just focused on our own gathering of resources for ourselves and making our name and being cute and looking good on Instagram and not paying attention to what's outside our door, outside our community, outside of our bubble. And so we need to hold up the tradition of like spiritual practitioners doing good things and standing for good things.
Yeah. And there's, you know, this, like the role of dissent, right? Like what is the, like not D-E-S-C-E-N-T, but D-I-S-S-E-N-T. What is the role of dissent? Meaning how are we, you know, standing up and saying no to things? Like what is that role of the, you know, again, the activist? And in our last episode, we talked about spiritual activism with our guest, who Beth Weinstein, who is on spiritual activism through the lens of entrepreneurship. But now taking that a step further to look at, you know, I was having this conversation with somebody a while ago who, and I'm not a religious scholar, so I don't actually remember the names of all these people that he was talking about, but like Thomas Aquinas, for example, like there's all of these examples of religious and spiritual figures throughout human history being the ones who are taking a stand and standing up for, you know, for compassion, for love, for grace, for values. You know, some of them granted were through some kind of warped religious lenses, but yeah.
We're not asking yourself to set yourself on fire or to, you know, like there's been some crazy stuff that's gone down in the name of social justice by spiritual practitioners where like, okay, I'm going to fast or I'm going to set myself on fire. Like people have done crazy things and it was in the name, right? It was in the name of the values of our spirituality, of our connection. Those values should be the guiding force of everything that you're doing. And so if you're really living a spiritual life, you're living your values. And if you're living your values, you can't say that you're being spiritual and not stand for those values being expressed everywhere, not just in you and your little space.
Right. And I want to circle back a little bit, Kat, what you were talking about with the, you know, this kind of brand of yoga body, wealth, fitness, like middle to upper class white lady. There's actually a name for that. And I've read some articles on this. It was coined by, this term was coined by Kelly Deals. And it's called the female lifestyle empowerment brand. And it is fantastic. Yeah. So that was recommended to me by a friend. She sent me a link to it. And there's a whole bunch of articles and material around that. I loved it. That's exactly what Kat was talking about. So if you're not familiar with the female lifestyle empowerment brand, it's not, you know, that's a general class of brands that she's talking about and these different features of that. It's exactly what Kat was talking about. And it is really toxic. So,
and it's generally very exclusionary. Yep. It's very exclusionary of people who look anything not like this very, you know, not like this very small subset of humanity. Mm-hmm. And it's a smoke screen, right? Where it's like, this is about empowerment and this is about, you know, helping people to be their best selves, but it's not actually speaking to everyone. It's not inclusive of everyone. Mm-hmm. And we talk about oneness a lot in spiritual communities, and we talk about that finding ourselves back to oneness, to understand that we are all one. And if you're going to ascribe to oneness, then by logical definition, you should also ascribe to being inclusive, because everyone's included in that oneness, everybody. Mm-hmm. So that I think is a big shift that we need to undertake in our spiritual communities for sure.
Yeah. There's another piece in relation to that, you know, particularly around the entrepreneurial model, since, you know, Kat and I are both self-employed. We're both entrepreneurs. We both done lots of training in business and worked in our own business. I feel like it's fair to say we both have our own VIP client version package, right? You know, and that's a thing in this community. And I feel like, you know, part of this social responsibility is looking at, like, do we actually understand the economy of spiritual practice, right? Where, you know, when we're looking at how the people who are prioritizing their spiritual growth and development tend to, meaning like paying for coaching, paying for mentorship, paying for training programs, paying for meditation support, right? Tend to be middle to upper class white people. And if you're charging premium prices, there's nothing wrong with that. But looking at, again, this social responsibility is, you know, do you actually understand the economics of what it takes for someone to be able to afford to work with you? And looking at the economics of, by definition of how our society has been constructed, white people make more money than black people. White people make more money over, you know, for their salaries and over the course of their lifetimes, and they have more time. As a result, there's more free time. There's more, you know, higher education. Like, there's all of these resources that, because of the structure of our society, white people tend to have more access to than people of color. That's just how our system has been built. So by charging premium prices, are you inherently, like what Kat was talking about, this exclusivity, are you inherently and perhaps unintentionally, but creating an exclusive market where your products will be available primarily or perhaps exclusively to white people who can afford them? Right. So looking at the structure of your practice, do you do scholarship work? Do you have multiple tiers of offerings? Do you take, you know, scholarship or pro bono clients? Do you build other aspects into the economy of your practice in order to be in alignment with your values? Or perhaps if, you know, you haven't ever really considered that before, even dialing it back a step further and saying, well, what are your values, right? And Kat and I have already thrown that around a handful of times just in the course of this conversation. But if you don't know what your values are, even just walk it back a step further to that and look at, there's a whole bunch of practices you can do. It's called a values elicitation, where you're prioritizing. And there's, if you just Google it, I'm sure there's some resources or a meditation to walk you through how to identify the primary values of your work and your practice so that you can know and can look at, okay, are my values in alignment with a social responsibility that I want to have as a practitioner? And how am I making that explicit in my languaging, in my copywriting, in my marketing, and in my invitations to work for people to work with me?
Yeah. And there's this entrepreneurial coaching thing. I can't tell you how many times I've heard, well, you should just charge exclusive high-end prices, and well, you're just not the coach for everybody if they can't afford you, and so there's plenty of people who can, so you should just, you know, do what you want to do because you should claim your value and your worth, and then you know, those people will find somebody else. And that's pretty, and it can't, there's so many times I've heard that. And if you're in this business, I'm sure you've heard it too. So, which in one regard, it's like, yeah, we need to charge and we need to make money and pay our rent and feed ourselves and all the things and live happy, abundant lives. And, it is important to have people who are paying you money so that you can survive. And then it is important to also look at like, well, okay, what am I doing? And a lot of those coaching models that are being sold out there, it's like, never give a discount, never do a scholarship, never, you know, like you're devaluing yourself if you work with somebody on your price. And, you should force them to, you know, take out a new credit card in order to come and do coaching with you. And I think that's bullshit. I think it's like, you know, people don't make money out of thin air. I've always prioritized that every program I do, there's some scholarship opportunities. And one of the reasons I started my membership when I started Heroes just last month, one of the reasons I wanted to do this for so long and I wanted to put it out is that I wanted to have something that was at a lower level rate so that people who wanted to work with me individually and wanted to work with me one-on-one, I would have a place to put them where they could have personal attention from me and be able to reach out to me and be able to have conversations, be able to get coaching on group calls and so on, and get reduced rates on individual sessions and all of these things by being in this container and committing to their work with me. And that has been a priority for me to create that. And so maybe that you haven't gotten there yet. You know, I've been in this business for a long time and been creating programs for a long time so that I'm able to get there and be able to offer something at this lower rate. But it's something to consider and to look at. Like what does it look like? What do your offers look like? And are they truly inclusive in some sort of way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's part of this aspect of responsibility is looking at not only your resources of your time, your energy, your money, your attention, but also how are you in right relation with asking other people for their resources to invest in you? So that's part of the social responsibility bubble. I also want to flip this a little bit. You know, we've been talking a lot about our social responsibility as practitioners from the place of providing service, but it is also part of our responsibility to seek support and to get help to manage and to process our own shit, right? And if, you know, it's totally okay to have your stuff come up in circumstances like we're having right now. Again, we're in the middle of a global pandemic and there's all this stuff coming up about, you know, where the Black Lives Matter movement is even louder than ever before, which is great and it's amazing. And part of what that process looks like is unpacking whatever stuff we have internalized, either from ancestral beliefs and traumas, from our, from our familial or conditioned beliefs and traumas, from societal learned conditioning beliefs, et cetera, and looking at how have we been unconsciously contributing to a system of oppression and trauma, and how are we facing that? And that's a complicated process, and it is part of your responsibility. It is part of all of our individual and collective responsibility to seek support so that we can mitigate our own trauma response and not unconsciously continue to impact or inflict trauma or inadvertently say something from a place of unconsciousness or unawareness or lack of doing the work or from an emotional response that causes harm. That's part of our responsibility too, is to seek support. And there are so many resources out there. There's some really amazing educators. I've been following a whole bunch of people on Instagram. I started subscribing to some pieces. Again, I'm getting involved with some of these unlearning groups and having conversations. My roommate and I have been having weekly movie screenings of different partly from the Black Lives Matter curated collection on Netflix. Like just the other day, we watched 13th, that documentary that is really fabulous and super intense. But there's a lot of things that you can do to be accountable, to receive the support that you need, and know that there are so many resources. You don't have to do it by yourself. And right. This would be one way where you can contribute dollars to one of the many amazing BIPOC educators out there who are incredibly intelligent, have an incredible wealth of knowledge and material and curriculum available for people who are looking to educate themselves.
Right. And to the more that you're educated and the more that you're grounded around all of this and not responding in a negative way, then the more that you're able to hold space for others, the more that you're able to have these tough conversations with people and to bridge, you know, be a bridge and help to bridge some of these issues that we're having and that we're going to continue to have. This is not going away. And it's like, we need to really unpack racism in our country. And we need to look at our indigenous populations and how we are, have and are still failing our indigenous people in this country in a really huge, significant way. And so many of our systems are built so that people of color will fail. And that has got to change from the moment that they're in the womb, they're being set up to fail. So that has got to change in this country. And we get to be a part of that. And in that we are going to continue to need to have these conversations and speak out and be present to the pain of what's going on. And we are, you know, Michelle was talking, like, we are holding these ancestral wounds. We're holding these ancient things in our systems and in our bodies that our ancestors have done or have contributed to or been a part of or have suffered under. And so there's sometimes those things are going to come up in you might not expect that all of a sudden you're having a really intense response, and you might not expect because, hey, I'm a super spiritual person and I meditate and I'm like really open-minded and everything. And yet I'm having a troubling time. And so it can also be important to go back to your spiritual practices, your movement practices, your voice, your meditation practices, whatever you have that's supporting you, maybe learn some new things, take in some new practices to be able to transmute your own internal energy around this so that you can be that clear, present person for the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And remember, like, in whatever way your contribution is asking to move through you and on all these different levels. Right? Like, I want to, if you haven't yet read the post that Kat wrote last week or a couple weeks ago about this is the awakening, right? I would circle back to that and look at, again, this that is happening right now. This is part of this process of transformation, right? And those of us who are here as spiritual practitioners, you know, ideally, if you haven't yet, you might want to consider either with myself or with Kat or some other practitioner having some sort of education about what it is like to work with shadow, because that's what we're doing right now, is we are actively transmuting collective and personal and transpersonal shadow and trauma through our bodies, through our political systems, through all of these different layers of the planetary field. It's hard. Sometimes it really sucks. There are some really beautiful things that are coming out of this, and there's some really challenging things that are coming to light too. And it's all okay. It's all part of the process. It's all part of this aspect of transformation and evolution that we signed up for. As a spiritual practitioner, you agreed to this, right? As someone who's working in contract with spirit, with your soul alignment to be of service, you agreed to be part of this movement in some way. And that means being present not only with holding this vibration of the light and love, but also through doing the work. And again, going back to this social responsibility of checking yourself on how am I living in alignment with all of these pieces in all of these different ways in every single area of my life, and how can I do better tomorrow? or how can I do better today? Even how can I take one more action? How can I, look at one more thing? How can I chip away at this tremendous entity that exists not only within our own personal fields, but in our collective fields, but in these layers and layers of institutionalized trauma and oppression? How can we chip away every single day and know that it is our responsibility as practitioners to do that? Because that's what we agreed to.
Hell yeah. Great. All right. So before we go, do we have any, we've given you lots of stuff here. We've given you lots of tips and some things to work with, including this assessment that's going to be really helpful, both the assessment of the values assessment and then going in and looking at your time and attention and energy and all the different areas of your life and where are you going to work with these five key pillars that we've been talking about. I don't remember them.
We can do it. Integrity, responsibility, accountability, openness, and evolution.
But yeah, you're good at that. So working with all of these concepts and looking and just, you know, look at yourself, give yourself some space, give yourself some time, be gentle with your process and what you're going through and really assess what it is you need in order to be more activated here and responsible, more in social responsibility in some sort of way, in whatever way it looks like for you. And it can look like so many different things that you get to be creative in how you want to engage with this. It doesn't have to look like what everybody else is doing. And you get to like dig deep now. And this is great because you do get to do some more shadow work here for yourself, for your ancestors. Great time to do some ancestral clearing work right now to get in and clean up. I probably should be, I'm speaking to myself. I know that I have, on one side of my family, I had Indian agents, Oklahoma Indian agents who were in my family who went in and were like, okay, get out of here, Indians. we're putting white people in here. And, we're there to police the indigenous populations as they were moving settlers across the country. And that's a part of America. If you're from America, you're part of that. If you're from Europe, you're a part of that too, only it happened in other places while you were at home, like while your people were home dealing with themselves. But yeah, great time to do ancestral work, great time to do shadow work, great time to look at your self-care practices and your personal practices, your movement practices. What are you doing to move this energy within yourself so you can be more present and conscious through this process? And great time to look at what's your service, what's your work in the world, and let us know what you come up with.
Amazing. So that was a lot that we gave you. Don't be overwhelmed. Take some deep breaths. And remember, we're chipping away, right? Every day that we can do one more thing, every day that we can be a little bit better, be a little bit more in our integrity, be a little bit more responsible is great. You're doing it. Awesome. There are so many resources out there to educate yourself, to take responsibility for your own personal process and for the expression of your work in the world, your practice in the world. Again, whether that's professionally, personally, whatever it is. And, we get to do this together. So none of us are exempt from this process. You don't get to opt out of this. This is something that we are all in, whether we're, wanting to be or not. And, this is something that I want to be a part of. And willing to bet if you're watching this, that you want to be a part of this too. So yeah, let's all go all in on these building new systems of freedom and equality and justice and compassion and integrity, and know that we're in this for the long game too. This is not going to be an overnight fix. This is something that we get to really dig in and invest ourselves in, because it's the right thing and it's what we're here to do. Yay. So we gave you a lot to do. Please, if you If you want, actually, I might even recommend watching this again or circling back and listening to this again, because we gave you a whole bunch of different pieces, but pulling out the different exercises. And of course, always, as always, if you're inclined to, please subscribe, please follow us on our own personal social media accounts. I mean, Kat is putting out way more than I am these days, but you can like, you can subscribe to our emails, our newsletters, you can follow us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube. And if you do feel inclined to support us in continuing to produce this podcast, please consider becoming a patron or making a donation. You can do that at patreon.com/shamansistersessions, where you can donate even as little as $1 a month. That's super helpful to help us cover our upload fees and our production fees for continuing to make this podcast happen. Or if you'd like to make a one-time donation, you can do so via PayPal and send some money as a friend to shamansistersessions@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook. You can reach out to us via our email address, shamansistersessions@gmail.com. And please continue to stay tuned. As we mentioned, we are, once we finish up with our final scheduled speaker that we had already scheduled months and months ago, then we will, for the remainder of the year, be featuring exclusively BIPOC guests and speakers as a part of our effort to use our platform to be in alignment with our values of amplifying melanated voices and supporting members of our BIPOC community. So Kat, how would you like people to stay in touch with you, stay engaged with you?
Oh, well, you can just find me on social media, or you can go to my website, katherinebird.com. And right now I have my Heroes program, which is my membership program, is up and running, and that it's so great. And I'm having so much fun in with meditations and standing energy practices and different kinds of coursework in there. It's just building itself out, and posting some stuff here right after we get off here. I'm going to be posting new practices and getting, you know, there's coaching support and lots of interesting people in this group. So if you're interested in that, you can find that on my website. It's Heroes, Hieros. And yeah, that's the easiest thing. I know you're like on sabbatical sort of.
A little bit, I am, but I feel like I'm going to be coming back kind of soon. And also, whenever you're watching this, if it's months after the fact, then I might be back. Probably be back already. So circle around to my website, joyofenergy.com. You can get on my newsletter there. I promise I will start sending cool stuff out again soon. And you can also join Lightworker Portal, which is the online community that I've created just for you that has tons of content. It's got people in it from all over the world, and it costs the price of one coffee per month. So it's a very economical way to be part of a curated community with amazing resources. If you want to do both Heroes and Lightworker Portal and double up your amazing connections, I highly recommend it. We do have some crossover. And then, yeah, that's all for now. And always, yeah, reach out to me through my website, joyofenergy.com, if you want to be in touch. Again, right now in this moment, I'm in sort of an incubation space, but something cool is going to happen here pretty soon. I feel it percolating. So just stay in touch with me and you'll find out what it is.
Okay. Thanks, Michelle.
Yeah. Thanks, Kat. Great work, everybody. Keep it up. You're amazing. Bye.